Welcome back at WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into football season around here, but always having conversations with our partner in crime, Don Moeller, former Baltimore County Executive, and my high school guidance counselor. We'll be getting back to Fadley's very, very soon. We're looking forward to getting down there and doing an event sometime in the next couple of weeks. We're also going to have our mayor, Brandon. This got out as part of the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented play. And we're also going to be at Mother's this week doing that because Mayor Scott got COVID this week. We're going to be at Coco's. We'll be doing that next month. We're at Mother's this week doing a lot of stuff with South Baltimore and Federal Hill, which is where I live. Don Moeller's over in Catonsville. He joins us now. We call this the recon. We don't have a guest. We've had guests. We've talked about Ted Venatolis this week, and we've had other guests. Brooke Learman was on with us, Luke Broadwater as well. You can check all that out. But Don, this is where, like, we stretch out. You usually anger me up a little bit to get a little nasty nester going on the program here. And it's good to have you on. It's been kind of a weird week, right?
It's been a weird week. And, you know, I want to start. Again, they're always breaking news. I always say there was some breaking vaccination news this morning that we'll get to in the next few minutes. But before we do that, you've been around football coaches your entire life. And I want to talk a little bit about the Urban Meyer debacle at Jacksonville, and not him being in a bar fondling a woman who's not his wife. That's personal. That's between he and his family, and we'll let them sort it out. If he were in the bar by himself, Nestor, sitting in a corner drinking beer, trying to get over a loss.
In Ohio.
It strikes me as strange. But again, you're more in that world than I. And my question is simple. I know some coaches.
I think if you stay behind because you have a girl, and you know that's another story too. And that's probably a text thread if you're Shad Khan, and you know what I mean? Like, if you're trying to figure out why he stayed, it seems to me to be premeditated. He would have stayed if they won. He was staying and he had an agenda for staying, which was clearing his head. I mean, you know, look, we talked about this earlier, right? We talked about this with Luke Broadwater. You can go check this out. I always go back to your best advice to make me Chris Thomas, which is don't lie. Don't lie to me, you know? And now as a media member, he's lying to everybody. He's lying. He didn't stay back to clear his head. He stayed back because he had a plan. Whatever that plan was, he had a plan.
Well, I don't know. But my question is even simpler, and we can get into that. My question for you is really straightforward. Let's just take the coaches you've covered. Has any Baltimore Raven coach, from Ted Marchabrota to Brian Billick to John Harbaugh, never ever not joined the team plane flying home?
None that I'm aware of.
Not that you're aware. And I've seen some other coaches weigh in. I think, Nestor, as we go around the league, that is going to be the answer. You know what it seems to me, and boy, you can weigh in because you've covered this stuff forever. I always have been involved in a lot of HR decisions, right? Human resource decisions. And it seems to me, let me use the Harbaugh or Tomlin example versus the Urban Meyer example. If you're John Harbaugh, you're Mike Tomlin, and you're getting the job in Pittsburgh or the job in Baltimore, you're young, you're hungry, you've got something to prove, and you're going to 24/7 put all of your time and energy in there because you have a drive to be great, and you want your team and your organization to be great. It seems to me that the Jacksonville swing and a miss here, and this is before there were rumblings, and you can talk about this, rumblings before the not flying home on the plane, that the guy just out of touch, not engaged. And my question becomes, did they swing and miss in that they picked a guy who really doesn't have any fire in his belly anymore, is not really all that into it, the paycheck is great, and I'll come down and
How many times have you sat in a job interview and had somebody just flat out bullshit you? Like, that's happened to me plenty. I mean, I've hired and fired famously and all that. I mean, I've hired wrong. So have you. And you've done a lot more hiring than me and a lot more firing than me. I've done it maybe a little more publicly. But I would say, you know, I've had people sit in a room and just feed it to me. And then, you know, I've had it a second and third time. I've had people, I've had two people come back, three people actually come back to me in my life after they left my life and said, it'll be different this time. Tears in their eyes. I lost the radio station once, right? Some of those people came back, right? So it's going to be different. You know what? And I'm not, and you will squat on me for this. You'll be pissed at me for saying this. There's a Don Henley song. It's called The Sad Cafe. It's probably a song you're not familiar with. It's the last song on the Long Run album, okay? And there's a line in it written by J.D. Souther and Don Henley. Things in this life change very slowly if they ever change at all. And people who are 60 years old and rich don't change much at all. I've pushed on that. I've pushed on a lot of 60-year-old white people the last 10 years who haven't moved an inch politically, haven't moved an inch spiritually, not through sickness, health, death, taxes, all of that. I think it's very, very hard for people to change what they were. Whatever Urban Meyer was in Ohio, Florida before that, and whatever the good things and bad things, he probably has owned that. And I think that's my take on it, is that you probably are what you are. And the track record, there's a reason they bet on horses that way, right? You bet on past performance, right? Past performance. And the longer your life is, the more your past performance is there, and the more they probably should have hired Marvin Lewis or like a grown-up, you know?
Oh, literally. I think the past is often prologue. I mean, I think there's no doubt about that.
When the past is this long, how do you expect this much change in this, you know, on life's timeline, no. There can be things that happen to you that really move you. I've had a lot of movement. I mean, I'm a different guy than the kid you met in 1982. I'd like to think I am, but I know a lot of people from high school that when I meet them, not much has changed since 1982.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. I think in many sense, it is as simple as we are who we are. I do think circumstances matter. And my guess is that if we would track down, and this might be fun for you to do, because some of them are probably still around, you probably know who they are, track down some beat writers from back when Urban Meyer was at Florida. Now, is there a chance he was still abrasive, abrupt, not the kind of person you necessarily would want to be at a barbecue or have as a next door neighbor? My guess is that might be true, but my guess is that he was also driven, hungry, much more focused. It seems to me the train wreck that is Jacksonville, and here is my prediction, Nestor.
Where's the ownership, right?
I think they're making,
the problem in Cleveland weren't all the coaches. The problem in Cleveland was the owner, football-wise, right? Like, the problem with the Orioles isn't Mike Elias, your buddy, or Sig Meidel. The problem's who owns it and who's really making decisions at the end of the day about payroll, about the kind of people that are going to work for them.
Again, you and I, that's another whole show.
Builders, rule followers and like all that. I mean, at some point, there needs to be, in Jacksonville, a real leader, and they saw this guy as a leader. And there are also people that voted for Donald Trump. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they saw leadership in that. That's the part that I've never really understood on that.
Let's make a good leader. Yeah, let's not make good Lord. Let's not make Urban Meyer about Trump. We get Trumped out, and it makes my head explode as I'm reading the book Parallel.
You don't think Urban Meyer's Trumped out? Go do a little research on the company he's kept.
I don't.
Showing up at State of the Union addresses.
No. I'm not saying he's not a Trump supporter. I'm more interested in this, and I'll be glad to talk. I mean, as I said, I'm halfway through the book Parallel now, the Woodward and Costas book, and I will say to people that, and you know me pretty well, I would have said it was impossible for things to have been crazier and more unhinged over the past 4 years than I thought they were.
Oh, I never. I thought
they were crazier.
Dude, the front of the house was bad enough. The food that came let me know how dirty the kitchen was. I mean, seriously,
even,
right?
it's even worse than we thought.
If there was a bug at the hotel down there where all the dirty international deals were coming from, like that, to me, that's the crux of all of this, is the money that transpired in the hotel down there.
Well, there's certainly,
I haven't read Peril, but I'm sure Woodward called that, you know, the back room at Arthur's with the Fonz, right? That's where all the dealing was done.
I mean, there's certainly a lot of that. But my point on the Jacksonville thing is, here's my prediction as someone who's been in management for a long, long time. And let's cut back to when, and Brian Billick's a friend of yours. I certainly have my time with Brian. I've always enjoyed him. I was disappointed when Brian was fired because I thought Brian still had good head coaching years ahead of him. It's worked out great because we got one of the best coaches in the NFL. But I remember that Bisciotti had pretty much announced, right? You wrote about this, that Brian would be back. Steve slept on it, decides it's really not what I want to do, and I've got to pull the Band-Aid off. I think that's leadership. I think what the Jacksonville people are going to regret is what you said. They're rather than pull the Band-Aid off, and it's a good year to pull it off because they stink, and pay the piper and pay him whatever they have
to pay. All that money they're making from that wrestling thing. You know, they run a wrestling organization, Don.
Yeah.
You know, so like they like a little circus down there in North Florida,
so,
I think.
But the problem with this circus is I don't think it's going to lead to good football. So my point being that if I were in the Jacksonville ownership group, I'd say, you know what? And I know no one likes to say they messed up, but I think I'd have to say we made a decision. We made like Animal House. Hey, face it. You effed up. You effed up. You trusted us. You know, and say, look, we messed up. We made the wrong hire. We dedicated ourselves to getting the next one right because I can't. And I'll give the kid Trevor Lawrence credit. He came out and said all the right things. He's still I mean, you know, they had the kid prepped up pretty well. But when you're focusing on that and your coach, again, I don't care about.
I love how you say they had the kid prepped up really well.
Yeah.
This is where that bullshit and that veneer
what's really going on.
Like they had the kid dressed up and he said the right thing. That doesn't matter. What's really going on in the kitchen? That's really the story.
But it does matter.
The story isn't the press conference because they're not going to win the press conference. He was rubbing up on a chick after his team got their ass kicked in Ohio. Wasn't on the plane. You can't be fired for that.
No. Here's
the point. I mean, seriously.
The kid came out, he took one for the organization. I respect that. You know, he said, listen, he doesn't have to come out and say, well, I do, but I don't.
I hope behind the scenes this isn't good enough for him. Because if it's good enough for him, they're going to stink forever.
It's not good enough for him.
I've washed out on all this with the Orioles after they lose 110 games this year, and you don't want me to talk because I'm not allowed to talk about that, how awful they are.
Because they're going to be a lot better.
But that's fine. We're going to give them a hall pass when they lose 110. When they lose 110, you call it what it is. It's not good enough, and it better not be good enough for anybody.
Houston lost 100 games 3 years in a row. This was the plan. It's going.
Nobody around there ever stood up and said this Brady Anderson thing's not a good idea. And the fact that the Koreans don't, no one ever speaks out.
What are you talking about?
Everyone stands.
What is that,
Nestor? Coached up.
Nestor, I know that's in your mind. What is that? I don't even know what you're talking about.
What's really happening?
I mentioned Houston
versus the.
I said Houston. Time out. I said Houston lost 100 games. The Houston Astros. Houston Astros lost 100 games. Did they or didn't they?
Sure they did. Lots of teams lose 100
and
they
ended up being one of the best organizations in baseball. There's no doubt in my mind. The Orioles were down, recently, breaking ground on a new facility in the Dominican.
But the White Sox are playing this week. They stunk a couple years ago. It's possible.
It's possible
to do it that way.
We had no international presence. We had no minor league organization.
And my point is no one spoke up about that at all. They all came out to the press conferences and they said, everything's fine here in Oriole land.
Well, Nestor,
people that work there.
Nestor.
Many of them who just got fired this week, by the way.
Nestor, here's where you get confused. It's not that they were lying. They were too close to it. They did think everything was fine. And they are going to come out and try to talk about how things are going to be better. That has nothing, where you can't make the shift, and we bore people with it, is you can't get past what was and look at what is about.
What is to be. Is they've lost 110 games. That's what it is. They drew 700,000 people.
And we knew
so
that.
They've hit rock bottom. So now and what are they going to do to grow once they have success on a business level? And that's why maybe you and I should have given $85 to up at the Baltimore County and went and saw Brighton and give his speech last
week. We knew that they were going to lose a bunch of games. They weren't going to spend money on a bunch of middle tier free agents. They now, by any measure, have a top 1, 2, or 3 farm system. They will have the number one draft pick again. They are about to be very, very good. You can laugh.
But when you say they're about to have the number one draft pick again,
right? They
that
are.
Speaks to what
is that
the
a fact?
People that have supported them have endured. And
is
I'm not one
fact?
Of them.
Is that a fact? Are they going to have the number one draft pick again?
Yeah, they are.
Okay, and that will make them better because this group won't, I believe,
we won't have to be
win.
Bad to get better. That's a premise.
Well, you do.
You accept that I don't.
Of course you do. How else do you get better? Nestor, it's the same in the NFL. When teams go through rebuilds, you have to get bad to get better. That's as old as
no, you
sport.
Don't have to.
Of course you,
you don't
do.
Have to.
If you don't, unless now, what you hope is once you rebuild, and if you use Tampa Bay as the model, then you hope you're good for years and years to come, right? You hope you're good moving forward. But when you're where we were with no international presence, and when you're where we were with no farm system and no plan, you had
well,
to
let's
tear
say, let's take it back
down.
To Jacksonville. What's their plan right now? Their plan is Urban Meyer's going to like resurrect
no,
this
I'm
with
assuming.
This kid. Well, that's the idea. When the plan is blown up, you have to have a plan. And if you're going to sell it to fans, Trevor Lawrence can come out and say any issue he wants at a press conference. What's really going on in there? And to your point and my point, probably not good things because we're familiar with this.
Correct.
You know,
my guess is the players are saying to one another, can you believe this knucklehead? And it looks like, if you read, they were already saying the screaming and the shouting and all that. It just doesn't work. Listen, my brother, who is, you know, one of the greatest high school basketball coaches in the history of this state, will be the first to tell you that the way he coached 20 or 25 years ago just won't reach today's kids. Just doesn't. And my guess is
can't
that
yell
Urban
at a 15-year-old girl like that
right.
and get what
and
you
Urban
want.
And Urban Meyer
right?
probably thinks you can. And Harbaugh's strength, you know, in and out, you're in and you're out, appears to be that he is sort of the head Dr. Phil of this team. Listen, my greatest example of that is in the Michael Jordan, you know, documentary from a year ago. And I think I commented to you at the time. What I walked away from was one of the geniuses to come out of all of that was Phil Jackson. Because forget X's and O's. The X's were basically give Michael the ball. Scotty, get the rebound. Give Michael the ball. You know, we'll go from there. But his genius was being able to manage people like Rodman and others and make it all work. My guess is that's where a head coach who says to his team, you take the plane back, I'll see you later. I don't know about you, bud, but I don't think that's a recipe for success.
Well, that's a character flaw.
It's a character
that's
flaw.
A character
that's a great
flaw.
Way to put it.
That's a character
and again,
flaw.
I'm not
that,
talking
that's
about
something that would make right. no sense to anyone except right. maybe they voted for Donald Trump and think that's that, yeah. that that's character, yeah. I guess, yeah. is where I'm coming from to
I
say that that's leadership. Yeah. You know, it's yeah. not leadership.
Well,
it's
I'm
going
to tell you, this is something you rarely hear from me. I'm even going to take up for the Trump cultists. My guess is that even the Trump cultists think that Urban Meyer, as the head coach, should have been on the team with
even
this
Ted Cruz thinks that that's the
It should have been on the plane, you know, absolutely. But anyway, we've got all kinds of craziness. We talked a little bit with Luke Broadwater. We've got debt ceiling, and again, and infrastructure bills and reconciliation. And just so our listeners of the Recon understand, I think it's important. We can't say it enough. The debt ceiling has nothing to do with spending more money. We can't say that enough. But debt ceiling simply allows it allows the government to pay for money they've already appropriated.
Somebody that collects money from the government that's been promised to you, these are the people to pay you, whatever it is,
we shut down the government and people don't get their Social Security checks and Armed Forces members don't get paid. It's insane. And what they ought to do, Nestor, and where the public, both left, right, middle, you name it, ought to be screaming is get rid of the debt ceiling. The debt ceiling has nothing to do with spending. You have to borrow. If you've decided to spend and appropriate X amount of dollars, you need to make sure you have X amount of dollars to pay for it, or else you're a deadbeat.
Well, and especially when the government prints the money. You know what I mean? It should be fundamental, right?
We've got to pay for it. So we've got to keep an eye on that. We've got all the craziness. You know, we've got Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema, and you've got, as Luke pointed out to us, 95 progressives. So I thought it was interesting that Luke Broadwater shared with us that he thought by the end of the year, by the holidays, that we'll have a streamed down package. I think it's something for our listeners to pay attention to. If they're at $3.5 trillion and Manchin's at 1.5, and everybody thinks they'll compromise about 2, it's an easy way to do that because the current package is at 10 years. If you cut it to 5, then obviously you're down to about 1.7. Seems like we could have game, set, match at that point. And
well,
then,
why are the Democrats so bad at selling this in regard to how it benefits? You know, I had a Republican on last week, one of my clients who believes it's bad. It's too much, like, and it makes his points, and that's fine. Where's the Democrat side to say this is how it benefits your life? Yeah. This is how it's going to help regular people.
It's very astute, Nestor. And the mistake that Democrats made out of the gate, and the Biden administration made out of the gate, they got hung up on the number, the $3.5 trillion. They should not have even focused on the number. They should have said, here are things that we believe the American public wants us to fund, and gone down the list. And it should have been, you know, you could say, we believe that seniors on Medicare should also have dental care and eye care, because we know how expensive they are. And we know that people go without glasses, and we know that they go without.
They're necessary.
The American public would say, yeah, I agree with that. And they should have said, and we believe that one thing.
But I do my job right now without glasses. Seriously. Correct. If I couldn't read, I can't do my job. I can't function as a human being. This is pretty fundamental, I think. The richest country in the world, we always say that, and I sound like the bleeding heart liberal when I say that with the ponytail, right? But we are the richest country in the world.
No. You're right.
We aspire to be great. We talk about our greatness. We fly the flag everywhere. The animosity we have, red and blue, and us and them, it really plays into, you know, what our adversaries would really want to seed here on Facebook. And dude, I would have done 3 hours today with you on the Facebook thing and 60 minutes, and Facebook getting ripped down on Monday, and the nefarious nature of it failing in some inexplicable way for a couple of hours after 60 minutes pulls their pants down and basically says that they're involved in traitorous not rhetoric, not allowing it, sponsoring it, sanctioning it, spreading more of it because it was effective in making them profits.
Yeah, well, that's the saddest part, and the part that's hard to tackle in that are the accusations that appear to be fairly credible that Facebook's algorithms have determined that you get many, many more clicks if people are outraged or angered than if they're happy. So therefore, they've worked to promote. And I saw there was an example the other day, Nestor, someone shared, if you Google vaccine, the first, you know, 10 or 15 articles that come up are about vaccine efficacy, what's happening, factual articles about vaccine. If you go and do a Facebook search on vaccine, the first 10 or 12 are all anti-vax kind of conspiracy theory. Now, they all have the same technical expertise. So Facebook could fix its algorithms so these things weren't showing, but they don't, because it gets them clicks. And that's, you know, that's very, very disturbing. But again, it's Baltimore Positive. As we go to record this, there's news that Pfizer is moving forward to emergency authorization for vaccinations for 5 to 12-year-olds. Looks like perhaps before Thanksgiving, people who want will be able to get their children vaccinated. That's a good thing. It looks as if vaccine mandates are working. It looks like, you know.
Well, now we're getting to the point where if you want to get on a plane in Canada, you have to be vaccinated at various places. And this is clearly, I mean, Don, you know, of all of the shit Trump, you know, threw into this country, the notion that the playbook that we had 2 years ago, when the playbook, when the plague started, when I was off in Asia 2 years ago next month, that we would have said, if there's a plague, here's what every scientist and all of humanity's work would say to do. Contact tracing in a world where all of us have this, right? Like literally, all of the things that they did in Korea, all the things that they did in New Zealand, and we've lost 1 million people, and we have governors and places still denying it. You and I did a piece last week on me getting in Ubers and people still not believing it's even real when we're watching people die from it. My father-in-law has it this week. So like I you know, all of the, and he lives in Florida and like all that, right? So I just can't believe that that something like getting on a plane when there's a plague going on without a mask and without a vaccine that's readily available, that they would just that Delta Airlines would let you do that is insane to me. Because 2 years ago, had we had a sane president, a sane, and I mean sane, any Bush, any Reagan, Nixon, and pick any Republican you want that's not batshit, and if they were running the world 2 years ago, the FAA would have just said, you're not getting on a plane without a vaccine. Right. In the same way that Uncle Don, when little Nestor needed to come to school, Mr. Connolly at Colgate Elementary, Mr. Kallmeyer, and you know, at any point would say, you're not vaccinated, you're not coming into Dundalk High School. We can't have you in here.
Right.
It's science. It's not politics. It's not God. No. It's none of that. It's science, and it's safety for humanity, because our parents lived through polio.
Yeah, that's the long
term. These people? It gets me very, very angry, because it's just so stupid. It's stupefying to me.
It's the long term damage that the celebrity president did. As we said, the attack on science, the attack on truth. We have to figure out how to navigate it. I'm not sure we navigate it by screaming and shouting at one another. I have those tendencies as well. I think we have to try to slowly, gently cajole folks to come along. You know, I am concerned that, you know, the ballot matters, elections matter. We're going to have a big election in Virginia, and you've got a Trump wannabe and Glenn Youngkin running very, very well against Terry McAuliffe. A large part of that, I think, is, as you said, Democrats have not been very good messengers, because we've said ad nauseum on here, anyone that's listened, that Democratic positions are overwhelmingly popular in the country, but we're it's never popular when you want to say
vote for,
you know, Democrats want to spend more, Republicans want to spend less. That sounds good to everyone, and we Republicans have won the messaging war. So we just have to take some hope and be positive that as we get more children vaccinated, as the mandates kick in, the holidays will look more normal. We will all be able to break bread again.
And by the way, Don, you know, Fauci gotten kicked around again this week and all that. Every single thing, if we were making a movie right now, from the moment that, you know, your guy Woodward, you know, is in the office and Trump admits to him that he knows how bad this is, right? That how awful this is going to be.
That's the earlier
but we're just going to go out, right? We're just going to go fake it, right? Like from that moment forward, I said to my wife and the woman, the woman that had that played the role that did all the stuff you and I argue about with you, she did the Trevor Lawrence. She got up and said the right things. She did the right thing. No, yeah. She did the wrong thing. The right thing is standing up if you're Trevor Lawrence and saying, that's batshit for my coach to be in Cincinnati rubbing up on some woman, and everybody knows it. But I'm gonna sit here and say the right things, and you know, I mean, I'm just gonna talk like a football player, and you know, he's my leader, he's my coach, and I'm just with
well, the program. Well, you don't have to say
so if you, you don't say have to that, see, then you don't you have own to say. So I've never been good at that. I've never been good at that.
You don't have to say
I've really never been good at that. Still not good at that. On behalf of the Orioles or on behalf of John Harbaugh when he's running plays with your 5-yard plays at the end. I'm not taking the purple Kool-Aid. Vic Fangio's right. It was horseshit. I mean, no, Vic Fangio was right.
Vic Fangio's wrong.
Oh, see? Oh, okay.
He should crawl away.
It's our team.
Records. You know,
sportsmanship's important too.
I don't know about that. Fangio was trying to score. I'm with Harbs on that. With 6 seconds left, I think once Fangio's tried to score with 6 seconds left, all bets were off. So I'm glad Harbs put it up his rear end. And
every team throws a Hail Mary there. Come on,
that's a good place to stop because I thought it was good to get the record and let's get 40 some more. You know, let's go.
I think it's a good place to stop. You know why you think it's a good place to stop? Because nobody got hurt on that play. I watched J.K. Dobbins rip his knee up.
Yeah, well, you can get hurt on any play.
Well, then don't run it. There you go. Don Mohler is here. It's the Recon. We rarely agree on this. This is great. But we agree the rest of the time. We had nice segments about Ted Venatolis. We agree with Ted Venatolis for sure. But on the Orioles, maybe not so much. But it is. We will agree on watching playoff baseball this month. We will agree that the Ravens are looking pretty good right now. Luke is out in Owings Mills. All of it brought to you by our friends at Royal Farms. Real, fresh, real fast. I'm Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore. We're going to get back to Fadley's and State Fair. I promise we're getting that. And the Maryland Lottery is bringing it to you all. Of course, let yourself play the Crab Cake Tour. Mother's this week. Coco's in a couple of weeks, and I'm setting up the new ones. We'll have more for that out on the website after this.